Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Once again, we do want to say a special congratulations to all the fathers that are not only here but also watching us online. I just want to say thank you to my dad, the greatest dad a kid could have. You know, he's such an awesome example as a father and a grandfather. I want to say thank you to my three boys that are here today. You know, I'm sorry to be emotional, but I love my dad. And, you know, over the years, many people have told me that I'm a good father, and I owe it all to my father. Because my father was a good example. You know, he's not as good as he was a great example. And, you know, it is amazing how much influence that fathers have on young boys, especially's life. Now, I'm sure they impress young girls too. I don't know much about that, you know, except for what I know from my sister. But there's probably two things that I like best in this world, besides the Word of God, and that's motorsports and football. And that was all taught from my dad. Some of you have heard us talk about racing, and what you don't understand is that, as far as I can remember, that whenever we had time, that we were at the racetracks on the weekend. You know, whether we had a car or didn't have a car. I mean, I don't mean a little car. I mean a race car. Throughout the years, Dad had a car, and I had a car. All my three boys have driven at some point in time, and Cameron's still driving today, racing. In fact, last night, we were at the races, and, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and that's what, you know, I don't know how old I was when I went to my first race. I think I was only a few months old. However old, my mom said I could be to go. And then the other thing, like I said, was football. I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan because we're from Dallas. And, you know, some of you might have liked that or not, but, I mean, one of these days they're going to win another Super Bowl. Hopefully this year. We're praying and believing God that we might actually have a quarterback. Anyway, let's talk about fathers. You know, it was interesting. They asked a little boy one time, said, "Can you explain about Father's Day?" He said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the presents." And then I read this. Someone wrote about fathers. He says, "At 4 years of age, my daddy can do anything. At 7 years of age, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 8 years of age, my father doesn't quite know everything. At 12 years of age, oh well, naturally, father doesn't know everything. At 14 years, it says, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21 years of age, oh, that man is out of date. What do you expect? At 25, it says he knows a little bit about it, but not much. At 30, it says, must find out what dad thinks about it. At 50, he says, what would dad have thought about it? At 60, my dad knew literally everything. At 65, I wish I could talk it over with my dad once more. You know, while we have our father on this earth, we should appreciate him, even when sometimes that we go through ages where we don't feel he knows a whole lot. But as we get older, we find out he knew more than what we thought he knew. You know, we are a society searching for a model father. But, you know, so many times fathers are trying to become a model father. We just need to be a dad to our kids. And there is a difference between a father and a dad. You know, fathers happen because of biology. And we've all watched those talk shows, you know, where someone takes a test and they say, so-and-so is your father or whatever. Ever watch one of those talk shows or whatever, or Not Your Father or Your Father, and they don't even know they have a kid? You know, unfortunately, a lot of fathers either don't know that they have a kid or they don't act like they know. But then there's the dad. And the dad is much more than a father. He is someone who is there to raise and nurture his children. I looked up a number of different quotes from different people. You know, I guess they're most of them famous, except for this one guy named Unknown, and I'm not sure who he was. Anyway, I'll start off with what Billy Graham says. Billy Graham says this: a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. You know, a lot of times we don't notice a father, you know, and everything he does until you see someone that is absent of one. And then you really start to notice the influence. Charles Kettering says this: every father should remember one day his son will follow his example and not his advice. You know, we teach by examples. Liza Minnelli says this: I said it before, but it's absolutely true. My mother gave me my drive, but my father gave me my dreams. Thanks to him, I could see a future. Charles Wadsworth said this: by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. The comedian Steve Martin says this about a dad. He says, a father carries pictures where his money used to be. That can be true. Of course, that was before the digital world. Now we carry pictures on our phone and no money in our pocket. All right. All right. Somebody named Unknown says this, but it's really good. What you teach your children, you also teach their children. You know, we don't realize it sometimes that we do realize it probably as the generation goes. You know, generations pass down what they learn. Unfortunately, if you don't learn anything, you can't pass it down. Tim Russert said this: the older I get, the smarter my father seems to get. Linda Poindexter says this: when my father didn't have my hand, he had my back. All right. Dave Attell says this: says when you're young, you think your dad is Superman. Then you grow up and you realize he's just a regular guy who wears a cape. A gentleman named Umberto Eco says this: it says, what we become depends on what our fathers teach us. And then the great coach Jim Valvano says this: says, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. And then I want to concentrate on the words from probably my wife and I's favorite actor, Denzel Washington. I don't know how many like Denzel. He's one of my favorite actors. And this doesn't have anything to do with being a father, but it's interesting is I was reading some things. Denzel has said some lot of great things, a lot of inspirational quotes, and then he has a lot of good things to say about being a father. But it's interesting that what he said here, this is nothing about being a father, but says, Washington is a devout Christian and has considered becoming a preacher. He stated in 1999, a part of me still says, maybe, Denzel, you're supposed to preach. Maybe you're still compromising. I've had an opportunity to play great men and through their words to preach. I take what talent I've been given seriously, and I want to use it for good. You know, I was thinking about that statement, but, you know, it's interesting because Denzel has an opportunity to reach people that some preachers will never reach. And he's a great man. You could tell he's a great father by reading after him. Of course, many of you probably know that his father was a Church of God in Christ minister himself. And you've probably seen how many, I'm sure most of you have seen many of his movies. But I saw the video first and then I was reading. One of his movies that he did back in 2017 was called Roman J. Israel Esquire. It's about a lawyer And so he did a, he was doing a, an interview with a gentleman, and they were asking him about different things about the movie, and then they begin to ask him about something else. But it's interesting, when I read a article about the interview, this was a non-Christian publication, and they, but they wanted to describe the interview that that Denzel had gave, and so it mentioned about Denzel and the movie he was in. And the next thing it listed was Proverbs 22:6, which most of you probably know this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we'll talk more about the verse. But it's interesting, you know, he did an interview about a movie, and what this gentleman who wrote a story about it got was about training up kids. Now, in the interview, they ask him, because obviously he played a lawyer in the interview, and they ask him about a broken judicial system. And his answer was this. He says, the problem is not the system, it's the home. It all, as he said, it starts in the home. And the problem is we have a broken home, not a broken system. He says the system's not perfect, but he says 7-year-olds aren't going to prison. But what they learn at 7 could keep them from it. He says it starts with how you raise your children. Washington added, if a young man doesn't have a father figure, he'll go find a father figure. So I can't blame the system. It's unfortunate that we make such easy work for them. He said many of these people are broken before they ever reach a judge. He also says, if the father is not in the home, the boy will find a father in the streets. I saw it in my generation and every generation before me and everyone since. If the streets raise you, then the judge becomes your mother and the prison becomes your home. You know, but this is the most impactful thing that he said. Now, interesting part about, he's doing an interview about his movie. But he takes that opportunity, and I guess, you know, like I said, he's always felt to be a preacher, takes the opportunity to talk about the home and the father. But this is the biggest thing he said during that interview. They were asking him about growing up. He grew up in Mount Vernon, New York, and I guess it was a little tough where he grew up. So he went to talk about his 3 closest friends that were growing up with him. And he says this, 2 did 15 to 20 years in prison. And he said 1 did 28. He said, at 13, we were all doing enough to go to jail. But there's one difference. I had a father. And so he says that my father and my mother, he did add his mother, pointed him in a different direction. He also went on to say, my friends, they had nobody. They had nobody. And, you know, it's pretty interesting because the difference in being a multimillionaire actor that everybody knows your name and spending 20 years in prison could be your father. And that was an impactful statement that just hit home. How important a father is. But the other statement that also hit home was the fact that he said that they had nobody. Because I'm here to tell you that if you see somebody who has nobody, please become their mentor. You know, maybe you have kids that have friends that don't have a father figure in their life. Please try to become their mentor. You know, so many wonderful coaches And teachers have become mentors where kids did not have a father. One of the greatest things that my dad actually did was become one of my coaches. And, you know, he was always there not only for me but also for my friends. But it wasn't him being my coach that was a huge thing. It was the fact of his example caused me to do the same thing. And I was a coach to my kids' teams. And it was interesting how many young men that I never met their father. Unfortunately, some of their fathers were around. They just weren't interested. And I believe that we have a generation that not only, we have a generation that has, some of us have fathers in the home, that says us, not me, but some people have fathers in the home, but their fathers aren't interested in their kids. But if you're not interested in your kids, they'll find someone who's interested in them. And it might be a good influence, and it might be a bad influence. In this article I was reading, it points to fathers.com. I didn't know fathers.com exists, but you know now. And so it was trying to, they wanted to check out Denzel's statements and wanted to know, you know, is it true or not. According to fathers.com, children from fatherless homes are more likely to be poor, become involved in drug and alcohol abuse, drop out of school, and suffer from health and emotional problems. Boys are more likely to become involved in crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant as teens. Now, I do want to let people know, for some of you single moms out there, just because a father is not in their life doesn't mean they're going to come out, you know, turn out bad. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to start confessing over your child at a young age. I don't care whether they have a father or don't have a father. You know, we should confess over, you know, not only should we train them, we should confess great things about them. Just to give you a couple of stats from fathers.com, and this has quite a few resources, but I don't have time to go into all those things. And some of these stats are really old, so they're probably even greater, unfortunately. It says of students in grades 1 through 12, 39% or 17.7 million live in homes absent of their biological fathers. That was in 2001, so it's probably a higher number today. That's, you know, 19 years ago. Then it says an estimated 24.7 million children, 33% in 2010. So obviously the numbers have got greater, but still they're probably greater now. Live absent of their biological father. Because you know what? Just because the father's not in the home doesn't mean they can't be the father. All right? And just because you're not with their mother, you still can be there to be an influence. In fact, Denzel actually, in his statement, he did say that in his latter teen years that his parents did break up. And I guess his mom moved away and said he didn't see his dad as much. But his dad was a good example for him and a good man. And helped his example helped shape his life. You know, one of the biggest impacts that I had from a kid was when I was helping coach Cameron's fifth grade football team. I always tried to be an assistant coach. That way I could try to, you know, see all my kids play. And in fact, one time I had three kids, all three boys were playing at the same time, and I was assistant coach on all the teams. We were all at the same park. And in fact, well, two of them played right next to each other, so I would coach third base and then go down to the outfield, you know, behind the fence and watch Cameron play center field. And then, you know, kind of go back and forth every inning. You know, you did what you have to do. You know, it's incredible to see what I've seen my dad actually go to five different sporting events on a Saturday to watch all his grandkids play. You know, and that's commitment. But here we were. I was fifth grade as coach. We were running some drills. We were running a drill where we were throwing the ball to the kids. Some of the kids that were either could play receiver or defensive back, and so they would either be on offense or defense. And we were there, and there was one of the dads that was there. I'm not going to say the people's name because they could be watching. They are my Facebook friends, so I don't want to say anything. But anyway, this dad wanting to see his kid do really well. You know, his kid dropped the ball like three times in a row, and he kept griping at him, said, "You can do better." It seems the more he would try to encourage him in a little bit harsher way than I might have encouraged him, he kept doing worse. And so he dropped the ball. Then I was over there on the defensive side, so he came here, got in line with all the kids, and, you know, I told the guy, "It's okay, you'll do better next time." And then the kid in front of him said something that made me cry. He said, you know, because, well, what happened is this kid was upset. He was crying a little bit. And the kid in front of him turned around and says, he says, "Don't worry about it. At least he's here. And you can tell he cares." Says, "My dad lives in California. I haven't seen him in 5 years. Said, I would give anything if I had my dad here to yell at me." At those words, I turned around and began to cry. This kid was okay if his dad was gripe at him. You know, he just wanted a dad. He just wanted a dad who was here. Going back to the scripture that we read, Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, understand that train is, in order to train, first of all, in order to train, you got to be there. You know, I know we've been living in a virtual world here recently, but it's really hard to train virtually, especially being a father. I mean, because you can watch all the YouTube videos you want on how to catch a pass, but there's just something about your dad throwing you one and being there, even if he complains that you don't catch it, like this kid happened. You know, there's just something about being there. And like that one individual said, it's not about the advice that we give, it's that we're there. Now, obviously, the most important thing that you should train a kid is in the ways of God. You know, I thank God for my dad who's a godly father. In fact, growing up, I'm going to be honest, that growing up, I never tried to please my heavenly father. Never thought about it, actually. Never, it didn't even cross my mind. But growing up, I tried to please my earthly father. And because my earthly father taught me principles about my heavenly father, pleasing my earthly father also pleased my heavenly father. But see, as a kid, I didn't really understand about pleasing God. I understood about pleasing my dad, making my dad proud. You know, and I think the proudest thing that a father can ever have is when ever someone tells you how good your kid is. And I don't mean necessarily how good they are at sports, you know, and whatever, because ultimately that's probably not going to matter a whole lot. But whenever they tell you, you know, how well-mannered and how nice and, you know, how kind they are, that's a big thing. You know, it's interesting because sometimes I remember that, you know, kids are kids, and sometimes, you know, the way your kids act in the home and the way they act somewhere else is a little bit different. And in fact, I've had some times that I've had parents call and said, your son is the most well-behaved, you know. I mean, he always says, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I'm like, you talking about the same child that I'm talking about? And Blake knows I'm talking about him, by the way. I wasn't going to point it out, but he's laughing. So I don't know how many times that I get calls from parents, you know, where he would go over to their house, and they said, he's such a good kid. I mean, you teach him such good manners. I'm thinking, he hardly ever says, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, in my house. I didn't tell them that. I'm, you know, because they were there telling me how good that we've done, you know, raising him. And I'm thinking, I wish he would be more like that at my house, you know. But praise God, he at least knew what to do, when to do it. And he made me look good. You know, but the word train, and you know, obviously you have to be there. You can't train if you're not there. You know, and train means teach, and like I said, not only teach by your mouth, but teach by examples. Because, you know, we live in a world full of hypocrites. And I'm not saying anyone here is a hypocrite. We watch the news, we watch people, we watch things, and you know, and people say one thing and they do another, and you know, you see it in politics, you see it in life. And so kids are looking for somebody to be real, to be genuine. You know, and I believe that we serve a real and genuine God. And I think it's important to be genuine to our kids. And you know, in essence, a lot of times our kids they won't remember a lot of things you did wrong as a father or even as a mom, but they'll remember you were there. And fathers, we're not perfect. We're not. Sometimes we probably get a little more angry than we should, and a little more frustrated than we should, and sometimes our kids try to frustrate us. And you know, I probably was a little hard on my kids at times, but there were a lot of times I probably wasn't hard enough on my kids. But it's not about the things that you do wrong that they'll remember. They'll remember that you were there whenever you needed them. You know, and if you're not there, you can't train. And unfortunately, when it comes to a spiritual aspect, although that we learn in the Bible and we learn from history, when God created man to be the head of the family, you know, we created Adam. But it seems that spiritually, a lot of times the man's not the head of the family spiritually. You know, but kids need that godly example. You know, the words of Denzel Washington and his experience in life, I mean, it's pretty impactful. Knowing what a father means to a child. Look at a couple of more scriptures about the father, or about parents, about kids. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2. We'll start with verse number 2, and we'll get to verse number 4. And I do want to say that I learned this scripture pretty early in life, and the majority of time, whenever my father decided to not spoil the child, the Bible talks about sparing the rod, spoiling the child, and he never used a rod, but he did use a belt. But my dad would always make sure that before he did that we would look at the word. And we would turn to this verse, and he would have me read it. Ephesians 6:2, New King James says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Then my dad would go on. I don't know why he did it every time, but he did. He goes, Craig, I want you to live long on the earth. And then he would say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. But then I would continue reading. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonishing of the Lord. I always wanted to make sure before I get a whipping, that was the last thing that my dad heard. And I know that I probably deserve more whippings than I ever got. I did get a few whippings sacrificially that my sister probably deserved. Because she started it. But most of the time it was my fault. And I know a lot of parents are afraid to discipline their children. And I said discipline, I didn't mean abuse. There's a difference between discipline and abuse. You know, my parents never abused me, but I did get disciplined. And as you get older, they can discipline you in different ways, because after a while, my bottom side was pretty immune to a whipping. But when you hit me in the pocketbook, that hurt more. So Ephesians 6:4 in the New Living Translation says this, says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You know, teach them the Bible. But it says, do not anger them by the way you treat them. But here's something else, that you have to be there to treat them bad or to treat them good. A lot of times what happens is I found that our kids are provoked because our dads are not even there. Just this past week, I was eating at a restaurant and had a lady come and talk to me. She said her mom actually came to Rhema, and she asked me if she could talk to me for a few moments about some things going on in her life. And that's just what happens whenever you're a minister, all right? It's an awesome time also to be able to share. And so she talked to me about her 15-year-old son that was doing some things that shouldn't have been doing. Well, actually, I'll just be honest. I mean, I'm not saying who the person was. He stole the car and ran from the cops. Even the cops chased him and stuff. And so he was in some legal trouble and talked about that. And he says, here's what I said, well, where's his dad? Is his dad in his life? Because, you know, she wasn't talking about his dad. She said, well, his dad has spent most of his life in prison. He did get out, but he's back on drugs. And my son's angry. And a lot of the things he's doing is because he's angry. And right now he's not listening. And I talked to him. Actually, many of you probably read the story about my grandfather gave an individual about surrounding their son with faith and love. Because even if they won't let you talk to him right now, you can still surround him. You can still pray for him. You can still be there. But the interesting part about it says, my son is angry. And I started about the scripture, do not provoke your children to wrath. But by not being there, he was provoking his children. Now, obviously, he probably wasn't the godly example that he needed, that he should be anyway. But then sometimes we're not always there, and we're not always the godly example that we need to be. The main thing is, be there for your kids. Last scripture I want to read is John 14:9. John 14:9, Jesus said this. He said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" What I want to explain is that Jesus says, you know, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Do you realize that the Son is the example of the Father? And the things that you train your children, people will see you through your children. Now, not all of you will actually have a clone of yourself like I do. You know, it's interesting because all my kids, in some ways, act like me. Some of them have my good traits, some of them have my bad. But I only have one that really looks like me. In fact, looks like me so much that so many times that he gets accused of being me. Everyone's like, in fact, the other day I talked to an individual that ran into my son, didn't know it was my son, and he said, "Man, I was saying, man, Craig's looking really young and good." Then they really saw me, and they're like, "Man, Craig has a lot of gray hair." But, you know, kids are examples of their father and their mother. I don't want to leave mothers out of this. And so it said, you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Like I said, the greatest compliment that you can give a father is talking about their kids. And, you know, and probably the biggest things as fathers that we can probably have is later on, I'm sure, watching our kids become fathers, you know, and I'm seeing that how we help shape not only our generation, but the next generation. And then I know my dad has been a shining example of a grandfather. Probably, you know, sometimes he's worked himself to death trying to see all the kids play. You know, his five grandboys and all playing sports. But man, he my kids and my sister's kids, you know, they all understood. Some of them understand that sometimes their schedules would interfere or whatever. But they always knew if their poppy could be there, he would be there at their sporting events and things. When I grew up, my dad was a traveling minister and he traveled quite a bit. But if he, you know, there were some times, you know, a few times that I had sporting events and different things, he wasn't there. But I always knew if he could possibly be there, he would be there. He would make sacrifices. He said he would fly all night long on airplanes to make sure he was there for my sporting events if he could be there. You know, and it's because of his example that I've been there for all my kids' events. I've driven 8 hours to watch Cameron race, to get back in the car and drive back. And in fact, last time that I ministered here on Sunday morning, Cameron was scheduled to race in Lawton, Oklahoma on Saturday night. And if any of you know how far Lawton, Oklahoma is, that's 3 hours away. If any of you know anything about racing, a lot of times we get done racing at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I told my son, I said, son, I probably won't be there because I preach that next morning. All week long, he said, well, they'll probably get done early. Probably won't be too bad. He called me all week. And then finally I said, okay, I'll go. And he even called me twice the day of the race, make sure I was coming. Moral of the story, got home about 4 a.m. Preached the next morning. None of you knew, or unless you follow my Facebook. But it's the kind of sacrifice my dad would make. My son's important. And, you know, I wish all fathers would feel that way. To make every sacrifice we can to be there for our kids. And hopefully the example that we set, our kids will carry on and make sacrifices. You know, I've driven all over Oklahoma to all kinds of different sporting events, baseball, football, basketball, and then races, you know, but I love my kids. I'd do anything for them. You know, and I think that having kids really, well, helps us as Christian men to understand unconditional love. Because there are times that our kids do things that are disappointing, but there's not a time that we don't love them. And, you know, I don't even know that I realize how good a father my father was until I had my own kids. And I get it that maybe all of us haven't been the best father we could be, and sometimes, you know, we haven't made them a priority, but you know what? We can always change that. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. And I think the best way that a child can see that unconditional love is for us to love them unconditionally. And I get it. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get mad. But the best thing that we could do as a Christian father or a mom is ask for forgiveness when we do things that probably aren't right. When we set an example that's probably not right for our kids, and, you know, say things that are probably not right, because we're all human. We all have a temper. But I'm here to tell you today, if you can still call your dad, if he's still around, if you can call him, I said call because, you know, call is the dads want to hear your voice. I want to encourage you to make sure you do that today. Even if you've been estranged from him for a while and haven't talked to him in a while, I encourage you to call him. If you can't call him, email him, you know, Facebook him, communicate with him. Because one day your dad might not be here. And you're going to wish he was. You know, mothers had their day a long time before the fathers actually got a day. And I know we live in a world where every day is something day. You know, tomorrow's probably National Pineapple Day. It's funny, sometimes you get on Facebook, people wish you a happy whatever day, and I'm like, I didn't know that exists. But there's a couple holidays I did know exist, and that was Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I said, Mother's Day came first, and later on somebody says, you know what, we should appreciate our fathers too. And sometimes our fathers aren't as appreciative. I know that I'm probably better about telling my mom how much I care about her than my dad. I just figure my dad knows. But they like to hear it. So I encourage you as fathers to be the best godly father that we can be. And I know during that video, Dad gave some great examples and great things, probably said better things than what I said today. I just tried to say a few things about Dad. And like I said, I thank God all the time for giving me a loving, Christian father that's been a great example for my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here, and we thank you especially for every dad. And we thank you, Father, that you'll help us to become better dads, better fathers to our kids. And we also thank you that if there's people that we're around that don't have an earthly father as a good example, show us those people so we can help become a mentor to those kids. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here, and we thank you for their life, and also those that are watching us online. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, and we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Now, because of things going on, you know, we can't give a normal altar call, but if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, or maybe you've been the father and haven't really been there, been the kind of Christian you want to be or should be, and you just want to rededicate yourself to God today, I want to encourage everyone here, whether you're here or watch us online, just to repeat this prayer after me and mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me from all my sins. The Bible says that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, that I will be saved. So I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for your first time, if you're here in this room, just see one of these ushers in a red shirt here, and they'll give you some material. If you happen to be watching us online, if you'll just write us at partnerservice@rhema.org, we have some material we want to get to you. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget, we have service tonight, 6 p.m. Amen. If your father is still alive, I want to encourage you to make sure you give him a call today, or at least communicate somehow today. Turn around, give somebody an air high five, or whatever you want to do. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight.